Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode. Narbos and Broomheads, and we are technically challenged on this episode, though I don't think any of you are going to hear it, but if you hear any of us cursing under our breaths, it's not having anything to do with Benjamin or Billy or the dog. It is our technology, but yeah, we're troopers. Here we are again, talking about Benjamin Walks the Dog. I believe last week Arlo called it Benjamin Fucks the Dog. That is not... If you were searching for that episode on Amazon and you found something, probably not this episode. So,
yeah, no, that is not sanctioned by Playing with Time Productions.
Only at Industrial Love.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, not even at Industrial Love. Sorry.
Yeah. I sure hope not.
I'd be surprised.
Sorry, Arlo.
There's a line of dildos called creature cocks.
I concur.
And one of them is a canine penis.
Nope.
I apologize.
Fucking horrible. Hi, everybody. I'm Alan. I will be taking you through this one. And I've got a whole slew of guests joining me. So let's just see who's out there. Let's go out to the far east of Canada. Do not do an accent, Barry.
No. Well, I mean, I guess inherently I have an accent, so I'll do my natural one. I won't try to put on any other one. How about that?
Good job. Yes.
Yeah. So hi, this is Barry. I hope you don't hear the echo. Which is part of the issues that we're having. So looking forward to being this one. This one has a real doozy of a plot line that I can't wait to get into. So it should be pretty interesting.
Let's go to Arlo.
Hi, it's me, Arlo, coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And yes, that's the technical difficulties, as we're all hearing extreme reverb in our ears. So if there's weird pauses or something, that would be why, because we're trying to talk over our own echoes.
I'm trying to edit them. Don't worry. I got you.
Yeah.
And from the United States of America, we've got Heather joining us again. Hello.
Hello from the Dumfries, Virginia.
How you doing? Though your Skype photo is a dog, so...
It is. It's my Sierra puppy, Sierra Minor.
Hi, Sierra She's Minor.
My 2-year-old rabble rouser.
So, speaking of dogs.
Yes, apropos for this particular episode.
Yeah, so we're talking about Benjamin Walks the Dog in this episode of Kids of Degrassi Street as we plow along. This would be the 12th episode of Kids of Degrassi Street, which aired on November 23rd, 1984, written by Michelle Dion and directed by the team of Kit Hood and Linda Schuyler. And we've seen Benjamin in previous episodes. I think he was in the one where Billy was trying to make the hockey team, but this one, yeah. Benjamin is heavily featured, and I believe that he made Arlo, who said she does not have the gene that makes you love babies, but for some reason, little Benjamin makes her heart melt, so...
He does! He's
so
sweet.
Adorable!
He is.
He's also not a baby. He's not like a little bald humanoid
He's a little 6-year-old cutie pie.
Yeah. He's old enough to have a little personality. It's fine.
Well, we're going to talk about Benjamin, who gets the task of walking the dog with Pete and Billy. So shall we just dive right into this?
Let's do it.
All right. So at the start of this episode, Billy, who will go on to become the school sports representative in Degrassi Junior High, will then disappear. Jason Cox, and then will disappear from Degrassi and go on to have a murder trial. So in real life,
he was acquitted.
Yes, he was. Again, just like OJ.
So sad.
Innocent, both of them. So Billy is helping his brother Benjamin try on shoes. So they're at a store. A lot of things that Billy has to do alone to take care of his brother, by the way. So
how old is Billy?
I'm guessing
like 10, 11?
Yeah.
Like my son's age?
Yeah, 10, 11.
Maybe 12.
Yeah, somewhere in that little ballpark.
A lot of responsibility for a 10 to 12 year old.
Yes. And Benjamin is what, 5? Like
six, I think.
5 or 6? All right.
He literally says he's 6, so I know he's 6.
Okay. So Billy is helping Benjamin to try on shoes, and Pete is there with them, just kind of hanging out. And Benton says that his shoes are too big, but Billy says, well, you'll
hanging
need
out
them.
With a soccer ball.
Yes. Mm. Billy says, you need these to be big for you to grow into. So, yeah, there you go. And then Billy lies.
Benjamin's just so good. Like, he's trying to convince. He does. I come from a point where I was really close. I'm close with both of my sisters, but I'm the youngest of 3 girls. And I looked up to my oldest sibling because she just always found a way to word things that things were cool. And Billy trying to convince him that, like, the stripes will make him look cool with racing stripes and he can run faster. And I thought that was so on brand of a bigger sibling to kind of help, like, keep the happiness and motivation of getting the next chore done. It was cute. He did a good job.
Yeah, he lied to his brother.
I couldn't get past Benjamin's socks. Like, the holes in the socks, like after the last episode with the holes in the shoes, like, is that a recurring theme here?
It just means poor.
I mean, these are all single parents, right?
It's poor, and the kids don't have time to stitch up their holes.
I'm sure Towers convenient or department store is not the place to get sneakers, I don't think.
So that's called Towers? Is that the department store?
Yes, Towers.
Okay, in America, I would liken that to a Gemco. Or like a Walmart, at least. But for me growing up in the 80s, it was called Gemco. I was wondering if it was Gemco, but it's not. Okay.
Was Towers a real department store? I guess so.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think it turned into Zellers.
Okay. I don't remember Towers, and I think maybe it was an Ontario thing.
I'm looking up here. Towers was a Canadian discount department chain owned by the Oshawa Group, a now defunct grocery retailer and distributor. And its fate, apparently, was that it was converted to the Zellers name. So,
all right.
There you go. I mean,
Zellers already existed by the time I was a tiny child, so.
We are not aware of it because I'm looking at locations and I see Ontario, Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, and Quebec. So that would be why we would not know it in Winnipeg.
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
So he had a cool Canadian tuxedo, mind you. He is the king of Canadian tuxedos.
Pete, yes. The idea man.
What an idea he's got coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Billy, or Ben, after the shoes have been selected, asks if he can go look at pets because, again, the old school department store where you just had everything, including live animals, in the... Yeah. The store to go look at. So
that was Gemco. Yeah. Gemco was that way for me.
Yeah. Pete says that Billy is too nice, and then we get narration in this episode, which we haven't had for a while. Billy narrates that Pete doesn't understand little kids, and that's because Pete is a selfish prick. So
he is. Thank you.
Yeah. Ben goes and looks at the birds, but while he's looking at the birds, he overhears a woman at the store, for some reason, at Towers, arranging with somebody that they will find a person to walk the dog for her, and then she posts a want ad on some sort of billboard. So I don't know. I mean, this is, I'm too young for this, but I guess this was a thing. I don't know. Want
yes,
ads?
It yeah. absolutely was a thing. There was a small grocery store near where I lived in Winnipeg called Casey's Fine Foods. Casey was the guy who owned it. And there was a bulletin board at the front, and that's where everyone would go and post their little notices with the little rip-off phone numbers and stuff like that. Absolutely was a thing in the 80s. 100%.
Right. I could see that.
So, yeah, there's an ad to walk a dog. So, meanwhile, Pete is trying to convince Billy that they should try smoking.
It's Can I just plan. Say that the voiceover is completely unnecessary?
Yes.
In this episode? Like, everything about it sells the story. They did not need the voiceover at all.
You're like, no. when Pete's yeah. like, Billy, you should try smoking. Billy should voiceover. Pete was trying to get me to try smoking.
Yeah, for real. For real.
Billy says that his coach says it's bad. And Pete's like, it's not against the law, which... I guess, is it against the law for children to smoke, or is it just for them to get cigarettes?
I believe to buy them, to purchase them.
I was about
them.
To procure them. I mean, think about in the 80s, did you guys in Canada have the machines where it was like a candy dispenser, but
oh, yeah.
you said it was like
yes.
a cigarette dispenser?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we did.
I always wanted to push the buttons because they always look so cool, but I knew I couldn't touch them.
I mean, in Winnipeg, at the old Winnipeg Arena for the old... original Winnipeg Jets, big advertisements for player cigarettes, like right there on the scoreboard. I distinctly remember seeing those as a child. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. my parents smoked back in the day, and don't anymore. But I purchased cigarettes for my parents in the past. They knew who I was. They knew who my parents were. They knew I was buying for them. So, me as a 10, 12, whatever old I was, going, yeah, give me a pack of this, and they just sold me the cigarettes.
Pack of darts.
I was just at a CVS pharmacy. I don't know if you guys have that in Canada.
About we do not have CVS.
Card, and this girl comes in, and she acts like she owns the place. And she's like, I want Camel Lights, and I want this, and I want that. And the girl could only be like 12 or 13. They tell her no, she can't do it because she's underage. And the girl is angry and says that she always picks up cigarettes for her mom here. She picks up the phone, and the mom, she puts her on speakerphone and, like, yells at through the speakerphone. The mom yells to the cashier to give her cigarettes. They send her out, luckily. But it was like watching chaos at the zoo.
I thought you were saying it was like watching America. But then you realized you're in America. Just kidding. We got plenty of that in Canada too, though.
I mean, I remember. I put in my notes. Remind yourself to talk about CVS story because I had never seen that happen before. It was a moment.
Well, Pete wants Billy to try smoking with him, and yeah, there's also a dude standing in the fucking lineup with them wearing a Penn State jersey, which is weird.
I have that in my notes. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there, because Penn State, not a big thing in Toronto, but there we are.
Yeah.
So Ben runs back to them in the store, and so they have to immediately stop talking about smokes, and then Ben takes them to the dog walking ad, which he does not know what it is. He's like, what is this? And apparently, the dog needs to be walked 3 times a day, and the pay is 50 cents per hour. Arlo, did you do the conversion?
I did. This converts to $1.28.
So
you know,
shit.
Minimum wage was
so
in
about
1984.
$2.50 an hour.
Did you notice that the want ad, I guess you would say, is next to a no smoking sign?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're sprinkled all throughout this episode. It's like a Where's Waldo of smoking.
I looked up the minimum wage in Ontario in 1984. It was $4 an hour. So I was telling my wife about it. I said, you wouldn't believe that the plot line of this episode. There's these kids who are hired for slave wages in order to walk a dog so they can buy cigarettes.
Just so they get seized.
Amazing.
I did the same.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, Now, what does a pack of smokes cost back in 1984? Because I'm imagining they're not that expensive at the time.
I'll look it up.
A couple bucks, I guess.
Yeah. So Billy thinks, I mean, for 50 cents, you can at least buy what? Like, at the time, probably like 5 or 6 individual cigarettes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure he could, yeah.
Yeah.
A single pack was 80 cents.
That was in the States where you're, but
and a carton was $7.70. This is of course the Quora, so I don't know.
It's fucking amazing.
I'll look it up. Canada.
Well, Billy thinks that they can do the job. Ben then says that he can help out, but Billy's like, no, you're too young. It's just going to be me and Pete. And, so that's kind of where we leave things in the store. So then we meet the dog owner. Her name is Mrs. Baines, and she's wearing this ridiculously large cast just to really hammer home that she's not in a position to walk the dog. They're like, let's just put her in the giant cast so that we know. Apparently she fell down the stairs, and her dog is the most her dog is a horse.
He's a big dog. So at first I thought, is this the dog from the dog episode where they thought that there was like Sasquatch or whatever running through the neighborhood?
Yes.
At first I thought no, but then later on in the episode, I think it's the same dog.
It's a giant dog. So Mrs. Baines makes a deal with Pete. They have a deal. I mean, she's like, you were dumb enough to agree to 50 cents an hour? Deal.
Yes.
She's like, all right, you look responsible 3 times a day, twice around the block, except in the afternoon where they take him to the park, keep him on a leash, and look out for motorcycles.
That's important. Motorcycles. This dog triggered by motorcycles.
It seems like an excessive amount of time to walk a dog.
In Canada in 84.
What's that? How much?
91 cents a pack.
All right. That tracks. Yeah, they need to...
11 cents more.
They need to make this... They need to do a lot of fucking work with this dog. 3 times a day. We see Billy telling his mom about the job, and she says, that's great, and her mom is making a sweet, sweet pot of Kraft dinner.
And she takes a big old pull from her cig.
Yes, yes, smoking, dropping those butts in the Kraft dinner. Also, I say she's making Kraft dinner.
I have had Kraft dinner, and I'm an American.
It's clearly completed Kraft dinner. Like, it's done. The sauce is in, everything is done. And she's just stirring the pot. Like, they're like, look, you need to act like you're still making the dinner. But I'm like... I'm like, that's a finished pot of Kraft dinner, and she's just stirring it for the sake of acting. So, yeah, she's smoking. Ben says it's gross. We don't give a fuck. Because, again, back in the 80s, smoking indoors, who gives a fuck? Kids are sitting right there. It's great.
That's all good.
Yeah. Their house must smell lovely.
Oh, lovely indeed. They say...
So this actress, unlike a lot of the people in Kids of Degrassi who are just like... key grips and editors and stuff like that. She actually went on to have an acting career. She has a lot of different credits here. Of note, she was in Mean Girls in 2004.
Really? Oh,
she
yeah.
was a music teacher.
Was she?
Apparently. Yeah. I'm cool. Like, really? Mean Girls? Okay.
All right.
Okay, girl. Yeah.
Yes.
It's because she quit smoking.
It's because she knows music. So that's all. I'm like, can you play a piano? That gets your career. So she says she's going to quit. Billy says that's what you always say. And then Mom reminds Billy, who again is a child, about 10 years old, yep. That he needs to remember to bring his brother, the other younger child, to a doctor's appointment the next day at 3:30. So
cute children doing adult things.
Yeah.
She's just teaching piano, and I guess it interferes with her... ability to be a parent.
Yeah.
A way to get paid.
Yep. So, yeah, Billy says he needs to walk the dog at 4, and her mom's like, you'll have time, because, you know, doctor's appointments always start on time, especially in Ontario.
I like that Billy's like, but I'm working.
Yeah, well, his job isn't that. Fuck that dog. We got piano to teach, so... Yeah, so Billy says he's going to need to bring Ben to work with him, which will be embarrassing. And I'm like, to who? The dog? Like. So then there's a knock at the door, and someone is there for a piano lesson, and we get
Caroline.
Caroline. is there for a piano lesson, and we get more narration from Billy that Ben is getting in the way of his plan, and that plan again would be to smoke. So, we see Ben at the doctor's appointment. Billy's in the waiting room, and this is fucking weird.
This is really odd.
It is really weird, the joke.
Yeah, I'm going to pass it to you, Barry. Tell us about who's in the waiting room.
So in the waiting room, there's this couple who are, I guess, about to have a kid, and they're trying to come up with a name. And the guy is like, I got the perfect name. Was it Denise, he said?
Yeah, Denise.
Yes.
What if it's a boy? Then we'll call him the nephew.
And
the funny thing is, you know what we're going to call him? And it's this old man that's sitting in a chair across from me. He's like, what? And he's like, he screams it out.
I love how there's a random old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us. Yeah. It felt like an Adam Sandler movie where they insert like random old people into scenes.
It was. Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure as soon as he says like the nephew, the woman who's pregnant is just like, What have I done?
She's like, who did I marry?
Yeah,
why am I tied to this guy? This guy, true to Kids of Degrassi, is he's a grip.
Oh, great.
Yep.
He nailed his part, let me tell you.
Yeah, he's just a grip. They were like, hey, we need somebody to do this part. You do it, man.
And, like, I don't want to spoiler alert here, but, like, she must have been very, very pregnant because she had the kid, like, if not that day, the next day.
Yep.
He's listening to it's a dad. It's a almost dad giving a terrible dad joke.
Oh, he's so proud of himself. Billy rolls his eyes.
He's like, I have been prepping this for my whole life.
The doctor is checking Ben out and says his lungs are healthy. And we still see Billy looking at the clock, and it's 4 o'clock. And then Ben comes out, and then the doctor again is like, Billy, bring this form to your mother. And then he gives them a pamphlet as well so that her mom can read the pamphlet about not smoking. Because, again, in, 1984, you need a pamphlet to tell you that it's bad. So,
okay, like, of all the places to trust your other child to take your baby child, like, to the doctor? Like, what if he wasn't healthy?
Yeah.
What if there was a problem? Who is she going to talk to about this?
Yeah. There's a lot of foreshadowing here. The doctor telling him he has a healthy pair of lungs because he's doing all this inhaling, exhaling. And then, there's another no smoking sign behind the doctor. So there's a lot of, iconography and acting out of things for health.
So they run to their job, and Billy can't believe he's late on the first day. But then we see that Pete is already walking this monster dog when the brothers show up, and Pete chastises them for being late on the first day and says they could have lost their job. Billy says he'll take the morning shift, and then Pete says, yeah, and then we can meet after for you know what. And I'm like, I wouldn't say it like that. I'm like,
right?
Guys giving each other hand jobs? Like, come on. Like, just, it's like winking. Uh-huh. In the meantime, though, and Arlo's heart is probably melting because there's little Ben introducing himself to the dog.
And this is my son right here. Like, my son talks to our dog just like this. Like, oh, I want to shake with you. And, like, he talks to him like he's a person. And it's cute.
Billy is now counting the money. And I'm like, are you do you remember the episode of The Simpsons where Bart works for that old woman for like fucking 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And then at the end she's like, it's payday, and she's like, 2 quarters. That's Billy counting his money here.
Like a cigar box too, I think.
Yes, but we've done the math, and he's got enough to buy cigarettes. So
do you know what his money is in?
No.
A cigar box.
Oh. That's what I thought, yeah.
Another icon.
Then Ben comes into the room and says he can't get his laces undone, so Billy undoes his shoes, and Ben asks about the dog, and so he asks Billy if he saw the dog's eyes under his hair. And I have to admit that when I was a kid, Barkley, the dog on Sesame Street, for so many years, I thought when I was a kid that he was a one-eyed dog. I didn't realize that it was a dog with hair over his eyes. So I always thought
described this dog as Barkley.
Yeah. Yeah, I always thought that Barkley's nose was his one eye when I was a kid because I was stupid. So then Ben describes the dog's eyes as beautiful.
Beautiful. Yes. Look at all that hair. Yeah.
He's so sweet.
Billy gets the shoe off and Ben thanks him. And then Billy says, this wouldn't happen if you learned to tie your shoes properly.
Billy has cool hockey posters on his wall, FYI. Yeah,
Billy Smith.
Yeah, there was an episode a few episodes ago where he had Billy Smith. He had one of the old, I forget his name, because he was an inconsequential goaltender for the Winnipeg Jets. The Billy Smith, battling Billy Smith.
Billy's bedroom is the saddest little thing, though. I think it's kind of like the Brady Bunch thing where, like, Greg gets the attic because he wants his own space. And it's kind of similar to that where, like, I look at Billy's bedroom and later on in the episode, you're like, dude, you live in... It's like an attic, but it's just a hovel. Like,
yeah. Well,
I mean, the attic, like, it's not, like, done, right? Like, it's...
No.
Yeah.
It's like
the rafters and...
Yeah.
So, next morning, we see Ben sleeping and Billy sneaking past him. And he's about to go out, but his mom asks where he's going. And Billy says he's going to walk the dog and he's going to meet Pete. But mom's like, well... I got another lesson, so fucking take care of this child. So,
my thing is, Billy sneaks out super slow and quiet, and then they shut the door, and then they're talking full blast, like, volume. Number one. Number two, I had that E.T. doll in Benjamin's room, and I want it now. It was the best. It was like, he was like pleathery.
Yeah,
but then on his chest,
I remember
it was
those.
Red. Oh, memories. Okay, continue. So he's off.
So before they go to walk the dog, her mom gives them peanut butter sandwiches for breakfast. So.
For breakfast,
that tracks. My
KD
mom
and peanut butter sandwiches.
On a spoon.
Yeah.
Enough protein.
That's right. As the two brothers are walking the dog, Ben asks if he can walk the dog, and I was just like, that dog is way too fucking big for that kid. Like, no way.
Huge.
Also, Ben is waving his sandwich around and getting peanut butter on the dog, though dog probably doesn't mind. They eventually see Pete, and Pete is like, what'd you bring that little shit for? Billy asks if Pete brought the stuff, and Pete says he was going to get Billy to do it, because Pete, even though he is... like, we got to smoke, we got to fucking try it. When it comes time to buy the smokes, he's like, you buy it. Cause,
yeah, he's just the idea man.
Yeah, little fucking pussy.
He calls Billy a chicken at the beginning of the episode, but also Pete is a chicken, too.
Yep. So they agree to go in together and leave Ben with the dog outside of it's Degrassi Grocery, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, and we learned that the dog's name is Dudley.
Yes, Dudley, the fucking biggest dog in the world.
But then I start calling them dogs afterwards.
The kids go in the store and ask the clerk.
It's Mrs. Brendekas.
Yes, okay.
Sophie's mom.
She's back from her runaway vacation.
Yes, different actress this time. This is Sari Friedland, who we actually have seen previously as a waitress. But she is also a producer who will go on to produce in a bunch of other Degrassi franchises.
Nice. So they ask, the clerk that they need something for Billy's mom, but the clerk's like, oh, well, she just phoned in her order, and I want to congratulate her on trying to quit smoking. So, wah, wah, wah.
Also of note, cameo again by Linda Shiler here. She's the customer in there.
So then outside we see a motorcycle, Dudley's weakness. Coming down the street, and Dudley gets very excited, and Billy and Pete go outside, and luckily, Ben has not lost the dog, he's just having a hard time controlling the dog, but things, so far, are okay. So, Pete and Billy are fretting over Billy's mom quitting, and Ben, in the meantime, drops the dog off and is very proud of himself, and then we get Billy bitching about Ben ruining their day, and he also blames Ben for convincing his mom to quit smoking.
Yeah. Dang your mom for getting healthy.
Yep. So they leave Ben outside again while they go into the clinic to drop off this this medical form. And Ben is sitting on a bench outside of the clinic by himself. This is a six-year-old child. The man from the day before, the one who's having a baby, sees him as he walks into the clinic and pats him on the head. He then goes inside and he's like, it was twins! And he pulls out cigars and hands them to everybody, including the children.
He pulled an Oprah. You get a cigar. You get a cigar. Everybody gets a cigar.
I don't know what, like, why would he go to the doctor's office? Like
where is this in relation to the hospital when he's pregnant or he's twins? He's newly born twins.
Yeah, he runs. Like,
and how do you not know you're going to have twins? Like, they were going to doctor's appointments, I'm assuming, and getting ultrasounds. Like, you got to know these. Like, even in 1984, you know, don't you?
I don't know.
Do you? No idea. You didn't know what gender was.
All I know is that when I was born in 79, my parents had no idea on gender.
Yeah.
Knew my parents had a baby, but I wasn't known of whether or not I was going to be a boy or a girl. So in 5 years, I don't know.
Well, this dad has a close relationship, apparently, with all the staff and all the people waiting for their doctor's appointments. So he's just like, cigars for everybody. And this is specifically where I'm going to go. So that...
that old man jumps up.
Well, yes. Like... to me, they're smokes. Thanks, Sonny. I think to myself, like, could you not have come up with a better way to get cigarettes in the children's hands?
They could have found it in mom's purse.
Yeah, like there's a lot of ways they could
have
done this.
That's where I thought it was gonna go.
Sure.
So
or found a pack on the street, or any of those possibilities. But
even if this guy was passing out cigars, like, and he passed to a kid, once he saw the kids that it was a kid, you'd think he'd take it back. So, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't give you one.
You would think it'd be like bubblegum cigar or something.
Yeah. You get the Popeye cigarette.
I mean, I honestly, like, I think pre maybe 1990s, like, it was just kind of like you get a pass because it's a baby birth or something like that.
It's a ceremony.
I know when I was born, my dad got my sister a chocolate cigar.
Yeah,
because he's not crazy, but like I do think it's like one of those things where, like, you know, your kid can have, you know, a sip of your beer. Your kid's allowed to sip the foam off the top of your beer or something like that. Like,
yeah,
people were less concerned about it, and it was just like, like it's a big celebration. Like, here
I
you
got
go,
to sip
kid.
Off
like,
of foam off of a beer in San Francisco while eating fish and chips. So I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think people weren't as worried about it then. They were just like, hey, everybody. I don't know.
A sip of foam and a full cigar.
Things are different in San Francisco.
I guess so.
Or, like, you know, on New Year's, maybe, like, your kid's allowed to have some champagne or something.
My
you
husband
know, like,
got
I think
to
parents
a-
were less.
My husband got to have, like a shot glass of wine. They were Catholic kids, but, like, they got to have, like, a shot glass of wine with dinner.
So Pete and Billy run to the clubhouse to smoke, and Ben asks if he can take the dog to the park for a walk, and they say he can, but Billy says, don't lose the dog or I'll murder you. And I was like, knowing where this actor goes in his life, I'm like, oh, that's not a good line.
There's a lot of murder and kill and...
Doesn't age well.
No, it does not.
No.
So then we have the two kids in the clubhouse lighting up cigars, and I'm like...
What are they smoking?
I was like, are they legitimately lighting these up? Like...
Yes.
I feel like they were like, yeah, smoke the cigars. Like, that's your direction, children.
But they're giggling like they're blunts rather than just like puffing on a cigar even.
Well, we go...
You can get, like, fake cigarettes and cigars and stuff, like stage cigarettes or whatever.
Stage
that's
ones,
what
yeah.
It, yeah, like, I've had to smoke on stage before and use these herbal ones that were, like, made out of marshmallow or something. Like, not marshmallows, but, like, marshmallow the plant.
So we cut back and forth between scenes here. So Ben goes to pick up this dog. The woman hands over her dog. The dog weighs more than the child. And the woman is like, I see no problems here.
Here you go,
yeah.
Kid.
Good luck with this dog. So Ben gets the dog. Then we go back to Pete and Billy, who are smoking and laughing and coughing and acting like they're totally high.
Yeah, they got the gigs.
Ben and dog are then seen at the park. Then we see Pete back at the clubhouse, and he's starting to hack. Ben and the dog are still running around the park together. And then Pete and Billy are no longer having a good time. And Billy,
you don't inhale a cigar.
And Billy is like, do we have cancer? Pete says it feels like they have it. So there you go. And that's a very much a child line, right? Like,
I think I have cancer.
So then Ben stops to tie his shoe and decides to put the leash under his shoe while he's tying it, which is a bad decision because we don't get just one, but two motorcycles coming down the road.
What I was going to say is what I think is sweet and is very on brand for a kid is that the child is talking to the dog like it understands him.
Yeah.
And I have a child who, for his age, is still a little young, but he talks to our dog like she understands him. And he's like, so I need to tie my shoe. And my brother tells me this. And I look at that and I'm like, oh my gosh, my kid would be this kid. Because he's like talking to the dog and he's like, but I need to teach you this lesson. But it's
actually,
so
I meant to mention this earlier. When I was watching this episode, for some reason, the subtitles on my television were on and I didn't bother to turn them off. And I think in the future, I'll watch all of the episodes with the subtitles on because it catches things that I wouldn't have caught. So when he first gets the dog from Mrs. Baines, he's like, hey, Dudley, how about we go to the park? That would be fun. And then we can run through people's backyards.
It's so cute.
It's like, what? You can run through people's backyards? What the fuck are you talking about, and kid?
I was going to say, on YouTube, you can actually, like, on at least what I'm in America, I don't know if how it is on in Canada, you can, if you click on it, you can actually look at the transcript, and it actually gives you bullet points for what time things happen in the show. But it puts the subtitles for each bullet point of time, and that was kind of helpful. So like when I would read through it, I could kind of click to and be like, "Oh, that happened there." So for those of you who are watching on YouTube, you can do that.
So we see the dog getting all into the motorcycles and easily escapes the small child to chase the motorcycles. And then we see a great scene with just these two motorbikes going down the alley and the dog just running as fast as can be. And it's like honestly,
like, bye.
I'm like, that fucking dog is gone forever. Like, so then we see Pete back at the clubhouse putting a sign up that says no smoking.
No smoking. No.
Yeah. And he's like, that ought to do it.
Yeah.
Bang and Pete has big ideas.
This will remind me. And then they wonder where Ben has gone, so they decide that they need to go out and check for him. And then we see sad little Ben walking by himself in the streets of Toronto.
Oh.
Just Dudley. Dudley.
So
Pete and Billy show up at the Mrs. Baines' house and ask if Dudley is there, and she says, no, Dudley's not home. Is there anything wrong? And they're like, no, we'll find him and come back. And it's like, clearly there's something wrong, Mrs. Baines. Like, you should be concerned.
But she's like, oh, well,
nothing wrong here.
Everything is great.
Yeah, well, come back later and come back later and get your quarters. So we see Ben walking around again in an alley looking for the dog. And we also see Billy and Pete running around looking for both Ben and Dudley. So now it's just children looking for lost things.
It's chaos.
After not being able to find Ben and Dudley, Billy and Pete sit down and ask what will happen. They're basically very kind of upset. But then they see the dog. So they chase the dog.
Sitting there.
Yeah. they eventually catch the dog, and Billy tells Pete to bring the dog back so he can keep looking for his brother. So
I think we all know that these children would never be able to catch a dog. It's so hard to catch a dog.
It is.
Yeah, unless you have food. that dog.
Billy is a track star, right?
Yes, that's so. Right. So they do catch the dog. And then we still see Ben, who does not know that the dog has been found, looking for the dog as well. And Billy goes home, assuming Ben's going to be there, but goes up to Ben's room and sees that he's not there. And then he thinks that Ben is hiding because he threatened to murder him.
Again.
It's like, well.
So much foreshadowing.
Which would be the logical thing to do.
Yes.
On the threat of murder.
I always find that, like, the entrance to Billy's bedroom is through Benjamin's bedroom. Do you guys ever see the movie Flowers in the Attic?
Yes.
Where they have to enter through the bedroom to get to the creepy attic.
Where they're locked
up for you. I immediately went there, and that's where it stopped. But still, I felt like usually an attic entrance is not through somebody's bedroom. But I digress.
We got some weird home setups here in Toronto. So
I've lived in two different apartments where you had to go through my bedroom to get to the only bathroom.
Really?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and apartments where you have to go through the bedroom to get to like the balcony, or yeah, people don't think about layout all the time. Either that, or they're just like, "Fuck it," like
it's okay.
Yeah, if you can't afford something where you you get to live in your bedroom in privacy, then what are you gonna do?
Do all closer together. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah. So eventually, Billy finds Benjamin, who is hiding in a play structure. Because, of course, he does not want to go home because...
Looks like it's made out of telephone
poles. He doesn't want to get murdered.
Yes.
That's a typical little sibling thing. At least for me, when you know you're about to get it, you're hiding and praying that nobody gets at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was frightened out of my big brother when I was a kid.
I get it.
I think also, like, at this is one of those moments at this point that, like, maybe there should be an adult involved because there's a small child missing in Greater Toronto. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but we got piano lessons to give people. Like, what are you going to do?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Can't have it all, right?
Yeah. So Ben says it was his fault for losing the dog because he's just a dumb little kid. And Billy says...
Oh, we must protect him at all costs.
I question, is he related to anybody on the cast?
Yeah, he's related to, in this show, Casey.
Okay, good. I was wondering, because they have the same face. I was about to ask if he was related to Casey.
Yes. They are brother and sister.
So Billy says Ben isn't dumb and he isn't mad, which I'm like, well, of course you're not mad. You found the fucking dog. He's like...
Brother.
Yeah, well, if the dog was still missing, he'd probably be a little mad. But he's like, we found the dog, so I don't have to kill you. So it's all good.
I don't have to murder you.
So they start heading home together, and Ben then says, can we have peanut butter and marshmallows for dinner? I'm like, knowing what mom's been serving them, probably.
But Billy did not want it because he feels sick because he inhaled that cigar.
Yeah. So, yeah, Billy's like, I did something I'll never do again. And then he offers to go get Dudley after lunch, and they're going to walk the dog together because they're going to keep struggling with this giant dog for shit pay. And, yeah.
I do like that that Billy kind of starts to confide in Benjamin. Even though he's six, he kind of even says, like, yeah, I didn't make a good choice with Pete while you were off on your shenanigans.
Yeah.
It was kind of sweet that they kind of, even he kind of left it at Benjamin's level of understanding, but he did kind of bring it in. I really do like the brother to brother dynamic. And maybe it's because I'm a youngest of three and I do have a half brother, but I didn't know him until I was an adult. But I'm the youngest of two older sisters. I have one older sister who is 3 years older than me, but I have an older sister who is 7 years older than me. And I see both sides of that going on. I see the three-year-old difference of like the, ugh, she's following me around. She wants to be in my business because we're really close in age. But then there's the difference of like the seven-year-old difference between the youngest and the oldest, where you kind of can see the cuteness and the I am looking up to the older sibling thing. And I was able to relate to that and see how special those bonds are. And something about the natural connection between Benjamin and Billy in this episode, even if they didn't try, I could see how Billy really did look after Benjamin, even though there was the moments of not wanting to have to be the keeper of the little bro.
Absolutely. And I think he was particularly mean to Benjamin in this episode, which hurt my heart a little bit. But yeah, my sister was always really nice to me and like included me a lot in her older sibling life. And I got to hang out with her and her friends and stuff like that. And like, I recognize that, you know, is probably not the norm. And it probably drove her crazy sometimes. But shout out to my sister, because she was very nice to me when I was a kid.
I love my sister. And
did take care of me that way. Yeah.
But Barry, you were scared of your brother?
I was. My brother is 6 years older than me. And like I said, when I was, if he said he was going to murder me and if I lost something, I lost it, I definitely would have went hiding in some makeshift swing set that this guy did.
Oh, we had those moments too. To add to it, we were baton twirlers, which sounds hilarious, but we all had batons that could have possibly been weapons. But luckily, it never happened. Well, so
I was an only child, and it ruled. So just want you to all know.
Son would say that you lived on Easy Street too.
Yeah, I literally lived on Easy Street. But people would be like, "Oh, aren't you sad that you didn't grow up with a sibling?" My answer: absolutely the fuck not. Like, it was great.
I'm mommy and daddy's special boy.
Yep.
I keep on telling my son that, because he isn't only, but he keeps on thinking the dog is his sister, and I just go, okay.
Yeah. And my son's an only too.
When my son was in kindergarten, they were asking him, like, oh, do you have any brothers or sisters? We had two other dogs that passed away during COVID. But he was like, oh, I have two brothers, Cole and Copper. And they were like, oh, really? And they'd ask all these questions. And then we would have like an IEP meeting for my son. And they'd be like, so he has two older brothers. They're 13 and 12. And I'm like, those are our dogs. And now we have a new adoptive dog, because they have passed during COVID. And so now he tells people that he has a baby sister named Sierra, who's two. And I have to keep on explaining to people, like, no. It's our dog. Her name is Sierra, and she's a puppy. But it fills the void. I'm sorry. So yeah.
I had a dog. It was fine. I didn't think of him as my brother, but he was. You know, it's good to have a dog. I'm like, he's not going to get any inheritance, so. So it's all good. Rest in peace, Danny. So.
Good old Danny, puppy dog.
So that's Benjamin Walks the Dog, and we're going to be moving on next week to something even more interesting in a way, because we're going to get a lot of, I don't think, Barry, you saw the episode where Martin made his first appearance, but Martin, the most interesting child, I think, so far in all of this series, is going to be prominent in the episode Liz Sits the Schlegels. So,
okay.
Yeah, the Schlegels, who just keep fucking and having so many kids, because they're just children everywhere in this household.
Oh, no.
So, so that's what we've all got to look forward to. And we're going to see Liz. We're going to see a little bit of Ida. So things to look forward to in upcoming episodes of Kids of Degrassi Street. So, Barry, again, I know these were the first couple of episodes of this series that you've been kind of watching with us. But thoughts?
I think this may be the most ludicrous plot in the history of television for this specific episode. To earn money for kids to get cigarettes because they think it's going to be fun to smoke. Man, the 80s, man. How I miss thee.
I think that they kind of did a bad job dissuading kids from smoking with this episode. Like,
yes.
They really make it look fun.
Yeah.
Oh, they get cancer at the end, they get sick afterwards, but you know, like they're all laughing about it at first, and Pete even says, "Isn't this fun?" And like, it kind of make it look appealing.
Well, and the fucking dad like has the kid, and he's like, "Cigars for everybody." So you're like, "Okay, that's how you celebrate." Like, this is you know?
Yeah, it, smoke up, Johnny.
And like, yeah. it almost feels like the lesson that as a kid that you take from this isn't, okay, I shouldn't smoke. It's more so, okay, I should wait till I'm a little bit older. Like, maybe when I'm 13, I'll be able to handle it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It took me being an adult. I mean, I have smoked cigars, not like all the time. I think in college, my dad brought them up to share with my friends when he visited us in college. And my dad taught me not to inhale the cigar. And so, like, as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, those kids are going to inhale it. And they're going to be sick. Because I saw people who inhaled it and they threw up. So I knew that. But otherwise, if I was a kid, I wouldn't know that. I would just be like, you smoke it like a cigarette and you breathe it out like the mom did in the kitchen, you know, stirring Kraft dinner. But I will say, final thoughts. Benjamin, adorable. Protect him at all costs.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Billy and Benjamin are actually a sweet and realistic sibling combo. Like I said, it reminds me of me and my siblings. Dudley is a big old floof. I'm a fan. I want to just rumple his little fluffy fur. He reminds, like you said, I put in my notes, he reminds me of Barkley from Sesame Street if he were orange and white.
Yeah.
And but I am not a fan of Dudley's fake panting. It just got ridiculous. It's just a lot of, I'm not going to do it because it sounds wrong. But it's so much panting in and out. Pete, not a fan. He is very self-centered. The end. Heather F.
Yeah, fuck you, Pete, you fucking jerk child.
Even at Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi, like, just Degrassi, there's just something about him who grates on me. I don't know what it is, but I think it's a bit of a self-centeredness that I can't get past.
Yeah, I think this show in general, though, from what I've seen so far, it's a real forgotten gem of the Degrassi universe. I mean, this is...
Yes.
I'm thoroughly entertained by this, I have to say. I mean, it's very gritty and, you know, the acting, this and that, but I really like the style, the way it's presented, and I really, like I said, I never really watched the show before, and it is much better than I expected it was going to be.
Tim wanted to be here for this episode, but was having too many technical difficulties, but he did message in his thoughts on this episode, so I want to make sure to include it. Tim says, a fucking 10 out of 10, kids smoking cigars, parents smoking in kids' faces. Yes. Not just leaving a little child unattended outside a doctor's office, but also letting him wander back alleys of the largest city in Canada. 10 out of 10. Move over, Noel buys a suit, there's a new king in town.
I mean, that's the best part of this, again, is just, like, this shit really happened. Like, you just let your kids walk around. Like, this child is 6, and he's by himself looking for a dog walking the streets. And you're concerned about the dog and not concerned at all about this child getting, like, lost or abducted. So,
well, and I think parents just, like, literally smoking in kids' faces. Like, it's, I think we're a lot more conscious of that now. There are still parents who smoke, obviously, but I think people are a lot more conscious of maybe stepping outside for a cigarette, for example.
My grandmother smoked, and I always knew that we would go to her house, she would smoke. And I know we would all come home smelling like cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said in a previous podcast, her toilet paper always had smelly little things in the toilet paper, and it smelled lovely. So I'd always take a strip of that and smell it. But, I mean, it was always kind of the running joke of, like, we came home, we always showered right after we came back. But it was ain't no thing. Like, it was just, it was part of the culture back then. Cocktail and a cigarette.
Yeah. We're in such a worse spot now. Like, all these rules around smokes, garbage.
That poor kid living in fresh air.
Yeah.
Having to supervise your kids. I mean, these are just crazy rules that we have.
Yeah, right? Garbage rules. All right, everybody, let's go around the horn and do all of our someone's dropping shit. Do all of our plugs. I'm Alan, and again, thanks for listening. This podcast is on all of the platforms where you can get your podcasts, including things like Spotify and Apple Music. And we are at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter. You can find our Facebook group, which may be spammed with porn again. We'll have to see. And
we can only hope.
Yeah, and I'm Slip with Five Eyes or Slip wherever you find your social media. Barry.
Yep, you can find me on the X at Barry R. Flynn, or you can also follow my other podcast at Some Weird Pod. It's a podcast about folklore, stories about Newfoundland, ghost stories, things like that. And to quote a recent review I got, it's a, quote, pretty good podcast.
Pretty good podcast. Love it.
Arlo.
You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT, and I just wanted to give a final shout-out to the cameo of Kraft Dinner in this episode, which makes me want to make Kraft Dinner for dinner tonight.
Do it.
Canadians, of course, consume more of this product than anywhere else in the world.
Good for us.
Yeah.
Heather.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that I actually did a taste test of Kraft Dinner versus Kraft Dinner, I guess the version of it.
Yours and is Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Thank you. So yeah. I have a very good friend who is from Canada, and her husband's in the Navy, and her husband's also Canadian. But she brought me some from Canada, and I was able to discern that Canadian Kraft Dinner is quite delicious. It is less salty compared to American Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Interesting.
I would eat either happily.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's all it was. Is the difference was the cheesy factor was really good, but the salt was much smaller with the Kraft Dinner, and it was actually I enjoyed that better because as I get old and granny-ish, I guess. I don't know. I appreciate less salt.
Yeah. Suck it, America.
That's right, America.
Well, I mean,
sorry, Heather.
I'm just kidding.
I live in Dumfries. But anyway. but you can find me at Little Heather Ruru at Instagram. And yeah, thank you for having me on.
Of course. And
thank you for being here.
We made it through, I think, with a few technical issues, but,
ooh.
Is what it is. We'll see if we do better next time on Narbos and Broomheads. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Hoo-dee-hoo.
Well, I just said I don't get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylie. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cut just to get to my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so good at red-blazing hats.